1 Kings 19, 1-8. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and how he had executed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah, saying, "So let the God do to me, and more also, if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time." And when he saw that, he arose and ran for his life, and went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a broom tree. And he prayed that he might die, and said, "It is enough. Now, Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my father's." Then, as he lay and slept under a broom tree, suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, "Arise and eat." Then he looked, and there by his head was a cake baked on coals and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came back the second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you." So he arose and ate and drank, and he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights, as far as Horeb, the mountain of God.
Thank you, Kate. Good morning, church. Before I start this morning, I just want to share a quick video. I know we're moving. A very quick video. Martin, is he ready?
This 113-year-old church in Sweden will embark.
So, something interesting happened this week or during the past few days. And I thought, you know, I know probably many of you have seen it already, but I just want to draw your attention to that. Let's go.
On a two-day relocation on Tuesday to a new site almost 2 miles away. Ground subsidence in Kiruna, caused by the expansion of the world's largest underground iron ore mine, has forced much of the Arctic city to move. Named Sweden's most beautiful building, the over 130 feet wide wooden church will be transported on trucks after a year of preparatory work, including road widening. The three-decade city relocation project has seen several key structures, including the fire station and the home of the city's founder, move to the new site. The church's pastor, Lena Tjernberdi, believes the church's move is an important milestone.
I think it's very important. I said that the church is Kiruna's soul in some way, and in some way it's a safe place. It's a place you can come wherever you are. So it's very important that it's moving. But I think people also feel sad because we have to leave this place. It's like you can see the church everywhere in Kiruna. So I think it's like a sad and a happy day for everyone.
The mine, operated by state-owned LKAB, dates back to the 1890s, with tunnels extending over 4,000 feet below the surface. LKAB estimates that around 3,000 homes and 6,000 residents, along with multiple public and commercial buildings, will need to relocate. While some structures will be demolished and rebuilt, others, like the church, will be transported intact. As part of the move, hundreds of new homes, shops and a city hall have been constructed, with the entire project slated for completion by 2035.
Is that not amazing? Wow, it is so interesting. Are you ready for a move? Are you ready for God to do something in your life? Even this morning, are you ready? Come on, you can. You're allowed to say yes. Okay, you're allowed to. You're allowed to. But before I start this morning, I've got a word for some people. I felt the Lord is saying two things to some people here. I felt the Lord is saying, you know, God is the God of fulfillment. God is the God of fulfillment. He will not stop until he has finished with you. He will not stop. Wait and see the deliverance of the Lord. Wait and see the deliverance of the Lord. So it is a word of encouragement for somebody. The second one is, it is not time to leave. It is not time to leave. God is preparing something great, something greater. Endure the birth pain for the joy of something new, beautiful and perfect is coming. It may be in a workplace, in a family, or I don't know, you know it. But the Lord said he is preparing something new, perfect, and beautiful. Wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord. Amen? Amen. So, does it resonate to somebody, even at home? If at home, just put something in the comment for us. We want to know how God is blessing you. You know, so don't move. Don't move. Don't move. Wait for the Lord. Wait for the Lord. Don't let your manager push you out. You know, don't let, you know, that housing officer or wherever it is, don't let that grumpy, you know, housing officer, don't let, you know, the situation you are in, don't move yet. Don't move. Wait, because God is preparing something new, beautiful, perfect. Imagine the birth of a new child, of a new baby. Wow. Holly and Keaton are looking at me because they know what I'm talking about. Okay, great. Today I want to talk about why everybody's so quiet. You know, I don't like when you guys are quiet. You know, even Robin is quiet this morning. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Freedom reign in this place. Showers of mercy and grace falling on every face. There is freedom. If you're tired and you're thirsty, there is freedom. Robin started. So we should all be singing this morning. Right. Today I want to talk about a very interesting subject. Strength for the Journey is the title of my message. Let's pray. Father, we bless your name and we thank you. Because strength comes only from you. We thank you for your presence, Holy Spirit, among us this morning. We pray that you prepare our hearts to receive the seed from heaven, the seed of your word. We pray that you prepare our hearts, you open our hearts, remove every heart of stone and give us heart of flesh. Father, we pray against every opposition. Father, anything that would come and contradict your word. Father God, we would oppose your doing among us this morning. We lift up the name of Jesus and we declare that Jesus' name is lifted higher as a king and as a sovereign Lord in this place. So Holy Spirit, come and speak to us. I submit myself to you as a vessel. Come and do what only you can do among us this morning. Heal, deliver, set free, draw people near to you this morning. Give direction, Father. Glorify your name in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We heard the story of a very short story from the book of Kings, 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 1 to 8. You know, life sometimes finds us in a place of weariness, a place where we can be exhausted, very tired. Tired about the load, the things that we have to carry, the load that we have to carry, the circumstances that we have to face, the battle that we have to fight, even the fulfillment of the Lord's assignments for us often brings weariness and exhaustion. You know, even the strongest believers, those who have seen God move so powerfully in their lives, can reach points of exhaustion, fear, discouragement, and maybe depression. We heard about the story of Elijah. Elijah is one of the greatest prophets in the scripture, in the Bible. The Bible talks about, yet in this passage, we found Elijah at the lowest point of his life. The lowest point of his life. Elijah was running for his life. He was lonely. He was depressed. He even prayed, Lord, take my life. I want to die. Elijah completely lost hope and faith in the gods that done so powerfully, moved so powerfully, that being faithful, constant in his life, he lost faith and hope in him and in himself. He just wants to quit. He want to die. How many of us think or know that we can face this type of season in our life? I've seen one nudge head, and then few people are nudging head as well in sign of agreement. Is it? You can say yes. But the same God who was with Elijah on the mountaintop, the same God who was with him doing signs and wonders, performing miracles, that same God stepped in for him in the lowest valley, if I can say that. You know, the God of the mountain top is the same God that comes with you in the lowest The same God. The same God. God does not leave us. The same God of the mountaintop is the same God of the lowest valley. He said, "You are mine. I will not leave you nor forsake you. I will not leave you nor forsake you." Now, today I want to explore three important points about this story, about this passage. Three important points that I believe that we can learn something from, something vital from. Amen? And especially in this season we are in, for our church, it is so important that we understand how God works, so we understand how we can relate to Him, so we understand that we don't have to kind of, run away necessarily when things are not working out the way we expect them to. But before I do that, let me give you, a brief background of this story. You see my Bible? Have you seen this Bible? Let me read for you from my brand new Bible. This is from, for me. That's a special edition. Just one. Look at Bianca's face. It's just one. All the way from America. All the way from America. You can't find this anywhere. So you are privileged that I'm going to read. I'm joking. Thank you, Pastor Andrew. I love this Bible. So, in 1 Kings chapter 16, toward the end of that chapter, the Bible talk about the story of one king, King Ahab, King Ahab. Now, King Ahab the Bible talk about him becoming king of Israel in the place of his father Omri. Okay, after his father died. Now, Ahab took the throne, the command, and the first thing he's done is to marry Jezebel. He married Jezebel. Now, Jezebel is the daughter of Sidonian king. These are people who devour themselves to Baal and the worship of Baal. And these are people who are in abomination to God because of what they do. Now, not only Ahab married Jezebel, who was a queen, a princess, one of priestess, one of the priestess of Baal. So he married Jezebel. Now he married Jezebel. He didn't stop there. He now start worshiping Baal himself. He didn't stop there. He built a temple for Baal in Israel, in Samaria. He built altar in the temple, and he turn Israel away from worshiping Yahweh now to worship Baal. Terrible. The Bible says that he has done terrible things. Things that nobody before him, no king before him, has done in Israel. So that's the context. That's the context. Now, let us understand one thing. Very, very important. God loves his people. He want to be in close relationship with his people. God loves his people to worship him, to interact, to belong to him. Now we find somebody who turned God's people heart away from him. Now, God started looking for somebody. Look, in every generation, in every area, in every context where things are not working right, where people are not, aligned to God, where people are ignorant, where people are against God, in any context, God is always looking for someone that will turn things around, that he can use to bring people's hearts to himself. A person of peace. Always. So God started looking for somebody. Nobody, the Bible didn't tell us the background of this prophet, but he burst into scene in chapter 17. Now, through Elijah, God shows his power, his wonder. He shows his sovereignty and authority. He shows his, that there is no match between him and the other gods. The Bible says that any other gods are man-made. Only Yahweh, only the Lord is the true God. Him only deserves our praise and adoration. If you agree with me, say amen. Hallelujah. So God needs somebody. God raised Elijah. Now we're seeing Elijah in this context. Elijah, he has just experienced a mountaintop victory, a mountaintop victory where he challenged 550 prophets of Baal. He challenged 400. The Bible didn't specify that. But along with the 450, there were also 400 prophets of Asherah. Okay. The prophets of Asherah. Now, one thing that King Ahab done is he planted not only the temple, but he erected the Asherah pole around the country for people to go and worship, So Elijah defeated them all through a dramatic show, display of power of God. Things that nobody in Israel have seen. He called out fire from heaven. He puts the 450 Baal's prophets. He ridiculed them. If your God is God, let him answer by fire. Let him burn the offering. They dance from morning to afternoon. They perform all their rituals. They've done everything that they know to do. Oh my goodness. Total silence. You see, there is no deliverance from anywhere. There is no hope for you and for me anywhere else than Yahweh. Jesus Christ is the name that has been given to us. Hallelujah. Now, his turn came and he asked God to send his fire. Reads chapter 17 and 18. You will understand this background. Go and read it. Very, very interesting. Very dramatic. I mean, it inspires faith. Hallelujah. It excites your soul. It makes you jump. It makes you believe and trust in God. Hallelujah. Go and read it. Now, Elijah done all those things, and he's seen God's responding to him, answering to him, and then he exterminated all the prophets of Baal on that day. Now, the queen of Baal, the prophet of Baal, do you know who she is? Jezebel. Jezebel. Now Jezebel heard what just happened, and she sent a messenger to Elijah, and she said, you know, I'm going to finish with you. She said, if the same thing you've done to those 450 men, if I don't do the same thing to you, then may the gods deal with me. I would say, let Yahweh deal with you now. But Elijah ran for his life. Elijah ran for his life. He flee from Jezebel, threats, overwhelmed and afraid. How come one moment ago he was experiencing the mountaintop experience where his faith is pumped up, and then the next moment he's running away from a threat from the enemy? This demonstrates that spiritual highs are often followed by low depth, deepest valley. We are human. Even faithful servants of God can experience moments of burnt out, depression, and hopelessness, where ones feel lonely. It is possible. It happened. We need to be careful. But I have some good news for you. Do not be surprised when you find yourself in this season. Do not be surprised. No. Do you know what? It means that you are human. Simple as that. And we are all human. He knows who we are. He made us. The human nature has not been removed the moment we gave our lives to Christ. No. We are still here on the ground. We are human. Do not be surprised when weariness comes after season of intense ministry or answer to prayer. This does not mean that your faith is weak. It doesn't mean that you are backslided. How do you say it? You know, I speak French. I didn't see that coming. It means that we are human. So don't worry. I've seen people, you know, if you find yourself in a place where somebody says something bad to you because you are in that season, remove yourself from that place. Remove yourself from that place. So number two, God's tender care in our weakness. Now from verse 5 to 7, we've seen something very exciting happen. The Bible said that then he lay down and sleep under the broom tree. Suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, "Arise and eat." Then he looked, and there by his head was a cake, big cake. Cake! Even Jesus knows that we British, we love cake. Oh, my goodness. Apple cake. Oh, la, la. Cake baked on a cones and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down. And the angel of the Lord came back the second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, because the journey is too great." Because the journey is too great. Have we finished? No, we haven't finished yet. The journey is too great. Hallelujah. But one thing needs to happen before we need to be refreshed. Hallelujah. And the good news is God is in the business of refreshing his people. Hallelujah. You are going to be refreshed. You are going to be recharged. You are going to have a new life. Hallelujah. For the journey ahead. Amen. You know, there is a song, "Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord, we wait upon the Lord, we wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord, we wait upon the Lord, we wait upon the Lord. Our God forever, our hope, our strong deliverer. You are the everlasting God. You won't grow weary. You're the defender of the weak. You comfort those in need. You lift up us on wings like Elijah lie down under the broom tree, ready to give up. He has given up. But instead of rebuking him, God didn't give him a sermon. He He didn't give him, you know. No. He came. He sent his angel. He provided food, water, and rest. He provided food, water, and rest. God deals with Elijah, not with a sermon, or with a refreshment. Are you ready to be refreshed? Are you ready to be refreshed? Yes. Are you ready to receive? Are you ready to be revived? Yes. Are you ready to be renewed? God understands our physical and emotional limits. We have a limit. We do. Let's be clear about that. We've got limits. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Not my spirit, not our spirit. My spirit, says the Lord. So we have limits. Sometimes what we need or what we must need is it's not to strive more, it's not to engage more in any activities, but to rest in God's provision. It's good to stop and rest. It's good to stop and enjoy a season and a moment of rest. Amen. Enjoy the provision He provided. When we are overwhelmed, remember that God does not condemn us. Or when you are overwhelmed, remember that God does not condemn you. In your weakness, He meets you where you are with rest, refreshment, and compassion. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest to your soul, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Number three, strength for the journey ahead. I've gone past my time. I'm going to stop here. But there's strength for you for the journey ahead. When we see the last part of this story, this test, God provide for him. He enjoy. And God instruct him. God, he said, the angel said, let me read verse 8. So he arose and ate and drank for the second time. And he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights as far as Horeb, the mountain of the Lord. Amen. The journey ahead is very, very interesting, but also challenging. Hallelujah. That's the reason why we are in a season now. And that season is coming to an end for some, you know. Some, you're still enjoying the rest and the provision, even at home, the provision that God is, and this season where God is leading you to. But for some of us, we are coming to a place where we need to relaunch again. We need to relaunch and step into something new, some new assignment that God has commissioned our lives, commissioned us. You see, so it is so interesting. While we are enjoying this, the remaining of this season, I just want to encourage you as a church, you know, enjoy this. Take a rest. Hallelujah. And rest in Him. Rest in Christ. Rest in Jesus. Hallelujah. Isaiah 40. Rest in Jesus. Jesus is the bread of life. He said, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger. And he who believe in me will or shall never thirst. Jesus Christ is the bread of life. Let's eat the bread of life. Eat the word of God. Eat and drink from the well of the Spirit. Hallelujah. We've seen Elijah done exactly so. No, once. I love this guy. You know, he understand. You know, just once. No, I want more. They, you know, wake him up. And he ate again and drank again. Hallelujah. Do it. Do it. I finish. But I want to leave you with Isaiah 40. The Bible says, he gives power to the weak and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary. And the young men shall utterly fail or fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Are we wait upon the Lord? Let's stand and then we're going to pray. Now, if you are in this season, I just want you to raise your hand up and ask for the Spirit to come and fill you right now as we finish, as we close up here. If you're in a season where you need a refreshing, just raise your hand. Father, we want to bless your name. This is a season where we recognize that we are human. We recognize our limits, and we put our limits and the limitation before you. We come to you, Father, because strength comes from you. Hope comes from you. Renewal comes from you. Holy Spirit, come now. Spirit of the living God, come now and refresh every single one of us. We know that the assignment hasn't finished. We know that the journey ahead is challenging. But Father, we trust in you. And we trust in your power. We trust in your Holy Spirit. So renew, strengthen. Thank you, Lord. Refresh your people. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Have your seats.